Okay, so we left our last meditation contemplating our own soul and how much this soul is loved by God. Now, St. Catherine of Siena, she has an image of the soul like a tree. So let me just put that on the blackboard.
So this, more or less, would be your soul, though, this tree. You can imagine this to be a tree. And of course, it's the tree with its branches, and it's upon a piece of soil from which it takes all its nourishment, so to say. Now, St. Catherine of Siena uses this image of soul to explain also what is grace. Now, according to the scriptures and the definition of grace that the Catechism of the Catholic Church uses, grace in, this is the first or the second letter of St. Peter, I think it's the second letter of St. Peter, it is participating in the divine nature. Now, nature in the more philosophical language of the Bible is not nature like trees or water, but nature means the essence of a thing, the thing itself. So when the Bible says that we're participating of the divine nature, that means that our life kind of divinizes. It becomes godly. I mean, we have been elevated through grace to a very high dignity. And then it makes sense that we are configured with Jesus Christ, and He is God, that we are called children of God, that we have the Holy Spirit. So everything talks about a very, very deep, intimate communion with God. And so that's grace. Now, St. Paul, in his letter, first letter to the Corinthians, describes grace like the sum of all heavenly blessings. And of course, all heavenly blessings, the sum is God Himself. But in a very visual way, St. Catherine of Siena sees grace as a tornado. You know, I know, and I've got it many times, that the word tornado in the United States, it does not have a positive connotation. It's like a very bad thing. But just think of a friendly tornado, okay? And so it would just take your soul like this. You see, it just takes you where you are and just spins around you. So that's a little bit like to make you see that you are participating in the divine nature. And so it just goes up and up. Now, the thing about this tornado is that St. Catherine of Siena says that when this tornado is active and really reaches out to the tree, I don't know exactly how it happens. Maybe it's because it's pulling up and it's giving life to the tree. Then the fruits of the tree just start to pop up. So like, I don't know, oranges or apples, wherever it may be, and even flowers. And of course, all those fruits are the virtues that just grow in that happy life. Happy life, not in a sentimental sense, oh, I'm happy, I'm sad, but happy life in the sense that it's a life that is with God. It's a divine life. So it becomes fruitful. And she says that when that grace just goes away from us through sin, then the tree
starts by drying out,
and then it just, because it's so dry, it folds down. That's the second stage. And then it just becomes dust. No, that's the third stage. Now, but if it is united to that tornado, I mean, you can even think united to the wine, to the
to the vineyard. I forget the word, but you know what I'm that parable of Jesus, that you have to be united to him. If it unites, then it lives. Now, the thing about the tornado is that the tornado, it's a good image because it starts, I mean, if you look at it, it starts like small at the beginning and it starts growing at the end. So this growth of the tornado is very interesting because St. Catherine of Siena says that in your spiritual life, and this is going towards heaven, in your spiritual life, the participation in grace is as well. Let me tell you something about this. In your life, there are three, in your spiritual life towards God, there are three stages. You enter grace by baptism, or if you lost grace in a certain moment through sin, then you enter grace through confession. You stay in grace, and that would be to enter into this tornado, it's entering grace. And then staying in grace is persevering in the tornado, and then you grow in grace. And that third stage is very important because we're all called to grow in grace. And I just want to clarify right now what is to grow in grace, which actually means to grow in the size of the circles of the tornado. It's important to grow in grace, first of all, because you can think, oh, I am in grace. I'm already in the grace of God. So what else do I need? Yes, but imagine that God's love is pouring as if it were raining so much, and he loves you so much, but you can just take so much. That's your capacity to receive God's love. And for God, that is just too little, because he made you for a more abundant exchange of love. So the more that circle grows, the more grace you can take. And maybe you remember that image of Saint Therese of Child Jesus when she says that in heaven we're all glasses full of water, but there are some bigger glasses and then there are smaller glasses, but we're all full. Well, I don't know how big you are, but you are in this world to achieve that size that God wants you to have in heaven. And you have not achieved that size yet. So your heart has to grow so that you can receive more and more the love of God. And that is the growth in grace. And there's another connection even to the meditation about your name. So I don't know what is your name, but your full name is the biggest circle here. So when you reach that biggest, the greatest circle here, is you're ready to enter heaven, because in that moment you are who you really are. So in a certain way, this going up in the tornado, like growing in the size, is like more and more learning of yourself. It's not just more letting God be love, letting yourself be loved by God, but it is also a greater understanding of who you are. So St. Catherine of Siena says that in a specific moment, I mean, if you want to know
this size, this tornado, big or small, is equivalent, the diameter of the circle is equivalent, is directly proportional to your humility. The more humble you are, the bigger the circle. So the growth in the size of the tornado is a growth in your humility.
Now, of course, the interesting thing is that, okay, if it's the growth of the humility, what is humility? Because humility is a little bit like time. or like love. I know what it is, but don't ask me a definition because it's hard to give, no? So for St. Catherine of Siena says that humility is the true understanding of yourself in the light of the love of God. So that sounds a little bit complicated. You have to think about it. But just to make it more simple, the more you know and you accept, obviously, that God loves you, the more humble you are. Because the closer you are to who you really are. And then it is good to understand humility, to understand, and grace, to understand what is contrary to humility and grace, which is sin. So sin, like this is the definition, sin is what you are not. That's sin. So every time that you sin, you're actually denying yourself. It's like almost that you're going in the opposite direction. And it's not that your tornado is going backwards, it's getting smaller. No, you're just leaving the tornado. That leads to, little by little, to a complete destruction. So I really believe that people in hell are people that never understood who they really were. But they defined themselves in a very cheap way. For example, if I killed someone, I called myself murderer, and I really believe that was me, murderer, that's my name. And of course, a murderer won't go to heaven, so he doesn't go to heaven. But here it's very important to understand that was never his name. That was never meant to be his name. He was created in love. In love, he was called into existence. So there are moments in which you make mistakes. And yes, and then you just did something that you shouldn't have done. And then you call yourself by names. And you give yourself bad names. Or there's someone who is giving you bad names constantly. And then you're just believing that. You're just so silly. Oh yes, I'm silly. So that's your name, no? Your eternal name is silly. It just doesn't make any sense. No? But we believe it is. And then, as I said before, I don't know what is your name. It's a wonderful name, and it is really everything that you are, like the best. And you can say in a certain way that mysterious name is equivalent to Saint, your name. Like Saint Nancy, that's your name, no? But of course, it's not Saint Nancy, because that name is just, Nancy is not there. But there is a name that is the equivalent of that sanctity, and that's your name. So, as I said before, I don't know what is your name, but your name is closer to beloved by God, loved by God, dear child of God, apple of the eyes of God, object of the joy of God. So all those names are much closer to what you are than any other name that you can give to yourself or you can let someone else give to you. So in that sense, if you can take something out of this meditation, it's like, don't let anyone give you a name that is not worthy of you. And if you love someone, don't let that person give himself or herself a name that is not hers or his. So it's really, I think the mothers do that in a very instinctive way, so it just comes naturally. But there's a very great truth in protecting the dignity of one's children and saying, don't talk to yourself like that. So don't believe that. So you're really trying to make them see how valuable they are. And they're actually much more valuable than even you think they are, because you love them partially. God loves them totally. So this growth is equivalent to this understanding of how much God loves you, and you let Him love you. And then you're growing. Because we all are, and I think especially women are, very good at giving, but sometimes they're very bad at taking. It's like, you want to give presents, you want to make things beautiful for others, but you say, no, I don't need this, or I don't need that. No, don't worry about me. And sometimes there's a click that we have to make. It's like, I can make someone happy just by accepting what he wants to give me or what she wants to give me, and feeling happy about that. And believe me, that's very applicable to God. Because really, what can you give to God that he doesn't have already? But you can receive with joy what he gives you, and then you make him happy. You're giving him your acceptance of his love. So in that way, that tornado is growing. And it's growing to eternal life. So as I said, there is this final circle in which you are ready to say, oh, this is you, and that's your name. Enter the kingdom of heaven. And you are ready. Now, you might have already an intuition about this, but you can ask yourself, what if I'm in this circle and my real name is not this, but my real name is this, much bigger. What happens if I'm in this circle and I die? There's a car accident and I die, and I am in the grace of God, but I die and I still think that my name is beautiful, but not so beautiful as it should be. Well, that's what purgatory is all about. It's the wonderful purgatory. I just love purgatory. And then some people say, oh no, purgatory. Like, purgatory is wonderful and it's necessary. Because I think, I wish I were wrong, no, but I think that very few people just die already knowing their name, you know, their ultimate name. It's very hard. I mean, there are ones that are very close, but you know, so only the ones, well, not only, because God knows who, but the church, when the church canonizes some people and they say, well, in this day we celebrate this saint, like Padre Pio, we say that he was born to heaven on that day. So we're saying, oh, Padre Pio already knew his name, so it was like very natural. So God says, and he said, welcome Padre Pio, but with his real name. And he says, yeah, I'm so glad to be here. It's like, that's my name. It was not shocking. Because if we are not ready to receive that name because we're still here, like, if we would just see heaven, we would just be blinded. It's too much light for us. Our eyes are not strong enough to take it. So in the purgatory, it's a place where, you know, you're put at a certain distance where you see the light and it's challenging, but it is not so close that it just will just blind your eyes. So God is like pulling you little by little as your eyes grow stronger and stronger, which is like the growth in humility. And so in purgatory, you kind of meditate. I don't know exactly what happens in purgatory, but I can imagine that in purgatory, you're kind of meditating in the love of God to you. And you're just letting that love just go inside of your heart and just completely, you know, just touch your heart and fill it completely. Under it is overflowing, and then you're ready. And then you're ready to be with him completely. I wish we could do that now. I mean, it would be great. But it is the fight of the spiritual life. That's the spiritual life. That's what spiritual life is all about. It's understanding how much we are loved by God. Now, another thing about this that to connect with the meditations that we've had already is that, let me erase this.
So if this tornado,
you stop seeing it like vertically, but you just move it so that it is horizontally, like this.
Okay, let's just say that this is the ultimate circle, right?
Think back in your composition of place of you entering the church with a white dress. So here's you with a white dress entering the church,
and you're getting closer and closer and closer to the altar. And when you receive him in communion, you know exactly who you are. Of course,
from a certain point of view, that's happening in every Mass, because there is no every Mass. There's just one Mass, right? But as I told you before, even the different masses are the different turns of the circle. So every Mass that you go, you understand more and more how loved you are until you reach the ultimate Mass, which is mysteriously connected with the first because it's the only one. So until you reach the ultimate Mass, and then you die. Well, in this case, you enter heaven, because it could be that you're still in the purgatory. And that's why the souls in the purgatory are, we have always believed that as Catholics, they are in the Mass. That's why we pray for the dead, because they are also there in the Eucharist, in the celebration of the Mass with us, because they're still participating in the Mass, because they're still growing. That's what purgatory is all about. So it's a great communion of the saints. So you can see how you are walking towards your beloved, who is waiting for you at the foot of the altar to marry you. And the entrance in heaven is the ultimate moment of the wedding. I mean, it's like you may now kiss the bride. It's like now you may enter heaven. It's welcome. Now, another thing, and maybe this is the last thing before I leave you for the meditation. Where does this tornado come from? So what is this tornado? I mean, I know it's something divine, because it makes us sharers of the divine life. Grace, it's grace. But, I mean, does it start there in our circle, in the piece of land that surrounds the tree? No, it comes from heaven. And let me help you to see how it comes from heaven. Just imagine that you're married and you and your husband live in a little house in the prairie with Michael Landon. So somewhere there in Midwest, I don't know, Nebraska, or yeah, just think about that, or Kansas. And then you're there in the cabin, and in the yard in front of your house, your three girls are playing. You have three girls. Those are your girls. And then they're playing this game where they take each other from the hand, and so they make a circle, and they start just running. And, you know, as they grow faster and faster, there is more tension in the hands and in the arms. And so, because of the speed, they start getting a little bit nervous. And because they're nervous, they start laughing. And so all of a sudden, they're almost hysterical. They're laughing and laughing and laughing. So it's a great joy that your girls are experiencing. And you are with your husband and you're watching that from the window of the kitchen. You're looking outside and you're looking at the girls. And you're also experiencing their joy. And then you just hold closer to your husband. And then you think, maybe you don't say this, but you think, wow, this is what we came here for. I mean, this just makes that's the meaning of it all. I mean, we just live and work and do everything for moments like this. This is what gives sense to our lives. Now, these girls are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they don't need anyone. Their joy is supreme. But this joy is so happy that they're inviting you to join hands with them and just to experience the joy and to be part of their circle. And in doing that, they're sending you their circle, their joy, the excitement, their life, the game they play together. They send it in the shape of a tornado just to grab your life and to make you part of it. Now, another image is, if you were not in silence, you could Google it, but there's a Greek dance, like an old Greek dance, called the perichoresis. And this dance, in the time where the Romans, where the Emperor of Rome was in Constantinople. And so this Greek dance, you have three women that are dressed in this long dresses that just have one color, like a very vivid color, like green or blue. And there are dresses that are longer, like down. I mean, it's not like this cassock, because if it opens, it's just, no, but this can open a lot so that if they just turn around, you know, the dress opens like a circle. It's that kind of a dress. And it's big circles and from one color. Now, these women, they're holding hands, I don't know exactly how, but like this, and they're like dancing around each other, like the three of them. And then this dance is faster and faster and faster, so that if you look at the dance from the from like a sky view, you would see one big circle that combines these three colors. It's like very, very exciting. And maybe you have seen in some churches this sign of the Trinity, which is like a circle and like three drops of water that kind of touch and make a circle, or three fish that just move like that. Now imagine that as if it were a motor, like one of the propellers of an airplane. It's like, and that, I mean, it's just so intense, and it just comes from heaven and it just grabs you. So it's more or less the same image of the three little girls. But now another question: when does that happen? So where is like the communication cable for that air power to come to us? Well, that happens in the Mass. All grace comes through the Mass. And we will see, we'll go deeper into this, but when that soldier pierced the side of Jesus and blood and water came out of that wound, and that blood and water, you know, it's the baptism and the Eucharist, it just happened almost like, you know, if you buy charcuterie, it's just it just sealed like with vacuum, so that if you put a knife there, it just opens and pulls air. So it's almost like that is the side of Jesus. No, you pierce it and he begins to pull everything to him. Everything. Like you open it and he just pulls. Because that vacuum is the quantity of love that Jesus has for you that is so powerful that once that is pierced, then you come in. And so, and you come in through this tornado that he sends to pull you towards him. And that happens in the Eucharist. That is what is happening in the Eucharist. That is like the beginning. So that's the opening of the skies. And that is linked also with the baptism of Jesus Christ when the skies opened for him. And since you are now son of God, daughter of God through baptism, the skies open for you. And the voice of heaven comes and says, "This is my beloved daughter in which I have my complacency." So the doors are open to you. But that the fact that the doors are open and you're receiving the tornado doesn't mean that you're already there. But you are there when you unite with Jesus Christ in his ascension to heaven. And that is when you get your name. So you see so many mysteries just intersect. But I hope it makes sense. So it just leads you in a direction. And I invite you just to go in this direction, to meditate about this and to see what God tells you about it. And then we'll bring that in a very natural way to the Mass, where we'll continue to meditate on these things.